in Perek Shlishi, Ot Yud Aleph. Okay? Now, the issues that Ramchal is raising are clearly challenging issues. The nature of mankind, purpose of creation, and basically you have to, if you're reading his philosophy, his perspective, you don't have to accept it, but the most effective thing to do, I think, is to read through it and just make sure we understand what he's saying. And in the end, if you want to discuss it, I think that's best. But I find myself a little bit short of answers because we keep getting bogged down. I want to move on a little bit. I especially want to get to somewhere in the middle of Perek Shlishi, being that today is after Tzom Gedalia when I started to make Shuvah. Essentially, Perek Shlishi has a lot to, the next Perek, I'm sorry, Perek Revi'i has a lot to tell us about Sarah Dimei Tshuva. So I want to sort of, go a little quickly and read through the end of this section. And then we'll do a little sikum, a little
sum up.
Sum up, thank you. I totally forgot my English. And we'll go on. Yod Aleph. So we're in the middle of talking about, just to review, the Ramchal is basically posited that man, God created us in the world in order to allow us to achieve perfection. But in order to do this, he had to create us halfway, half and half. And in this world, we would then be able to, through a series of somewhat straightforward actions, it seems, achieve this perfection where the soul would perfect the body. Unfortunately, Adam HaRishon went the other way. And because of Chet of Adam HaRishon, Kadosh Baruch Hu decreed that it wasn't going to be that way in this world. And that the Chomriyut had more power or greater dominion than the Ruchniyut, than the spiritual element. And that we would never achieve that completion in this lifetime. Rather, just to clarify, we would achieve whatever perfection we could achieve, whatever Shleimut we could achieve in this lifetime. Then we would, by necessity, depart from this world, leave our bodies. The physical body would return to the dust. The soul, we'll see, will return to basically a waiting place. And then, when the world is destroyed and then reconstituted, after Triad HaMeitim, we will return to our bodies.
Come in.
And in this new form, our physical, our spiritual, and our physical will be equal, and we'll be able to complete the original, the intention of creation, of this notion of perfection. Okay? Is that clear up to this point? You don't have to follow him. Agree with it? You just have to know that that's what he says. Okay. But no.
Can I ask a clarification?
You can clarify, yes.
The soul doesn't come back?
What do you mean?
Each time, it doesn't keep coming back, it just sits there waiting.
Oh, you mean, does the soul return to this earth? So many suggest that the soul does return to this earth if the soul has not completed its intended or necessary dveikut during its stay in this earth. Rather, you know what I'm saying? Meaning, yes, you have a job to do. You have a job to get as far as, up to point X. But let's say in this world, you didn't do that at all. So it's many Kabbalists or whoever they are say, yes, God will send you back and keep sending you back until you do what it is you're supposed to do. So you might as well get on with it, do what it is you're supposed to do, get, to the level of Shleimut you can, and then you're in this waiting game because there's a certain level. You can't get past a certain level. Okay? Amnam. We're on Gimel Yud Aleph. You see it? What page? 52. Thank you. Man was decreed to die. Right, this combination has to separate for a certain time. And then it will return, it will connect again. So during this time of separation, you need a place that's appropriate for the split. Meaning, so what happens to the body? It returns to its foundation. It loses its shape, its form. And since he came from the dust, it goes back to the dust. Ahaneshama, but the soul has zocha bima'aseha, like who merited it through her deeds, through her actions in the world. So now the soul has to wait. What does the soul have to wait for? It has to wait for the guf to return to the earth. You should just know. There's a very, that's why, you know, in Jewish tradition, we strongly emphasize the need not to put off the burial. We don't do halanat amet. You know, in Chutz La'aretz, we're not as makbid as we should be. In Eretz Yisrael, they're very, very makbid. They don't wait at all. Why? Because of this notion that the soul is waiting for the body to return to its form. And the body's form has to, you know, the longer the body is connected to this earth, right, the soul is still connected to the body. It has to wait for the body to disintegrate. Okay. L'haynu ha'atacha v'afsed barishona. So he has to wait for the groove of the body to do what it does. Ha'atacha v'afsed barishona v'hasher v'afar kos man tzorich has to remain in the earth as long as it needs. V'ha'hibanut michadash achar kach v'shetashuv l'dikaneis bo. So what's the soul waiting for? After the body dies, the soul is waiting for the body to disintegrate, to return to the dust, and then for the body to reconstitute itself when? Whenever that's supposed to happen. That's amazing.
Question. Again, that's a technical question.
Okay.
Pass it off if you would like to. But
okay.
Presuming that you have multiple gufim, that means you have one soul from multiple bodies.
Yeah.
Which one is going to, how would it otherwise get into its body?
I can't tell you that. Mostly because I have no idea. I mean, that's like people ask the question, like, you know, if a person married two wives or a woman married two men, then it's just amazing who she had married to. I'll let Ribbono Shel Olam figure that one out. But Amnam, tzarich shiyeh la makom ben kach uben kach. So the soul needs a place. Ulam, tzarich zeh huchan olam hanishamot. So God created this, what's called the olam hanishamot. There enters the neshamot hazochot. Not everybody gets in there. Right? Who gets in? Those who merit. And they have to wait there. As long as the body goes through its physicalities. In that place, so you would think that Olam HaNeshamot, that's like the greatest place you can get. That's not it. Right? That's like, how would I describe it? That's like the, you know, like you're on a two legs of a flight, so that can let you into the, like, you know, the good lounge. You know what I'm saying? You have to wait on, it's like you're in a stopover, but you're in this good place. So, me'ein mashinatem hem, achar kach bizman hagmul ha'amiti, shezachan minwala. It's like me'en, it's a part of what's really you're gonna get when you really get the true reward, which is when? Sure. Not Mashiach, when you purify yourself and you cling to Hashem, right? Correct. Ki gam ma'alatan v'olam ha'shamot v'aday shedim adei lefi ma'asim shasu. Just understand, your position in the waiting place, right, in the olam ha'neshamot, it will depend upon, obviously, your stature here, whatever you did. But this complete shleimut that's waiting for you in the future, lo yasiguhu lo haguf, v'lo haneshama, ele b'hitchabram she'nit achar tfiyah. It's not the soul or the body, but them both together. Now, I will just say, I will stop for 1 second, and I said I wouldn't. What's compelling about this vision is, like, unless you accept the Ramchal's perspective, so when you die, you go to olam haneshamot. But then there's the idea of tchiyat ha'mitim. Why in the world would you want tchiyat ha'mitim if you're with God when you die? You understand what I'm saying? Meaning, why do we need tchiyat ha'mitim? You live in your world, you do your best, you try to get as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you die, okay? And you really want to come back? You know what I'm saying? What's this whole vision of return? So that's why the Ramchal's, his whole setup makes sense in that sense. He says, yeah, you can get to, you know, you only can get to a certain point in Olam HaNeshama, but that's not the end point. Right, the ideal point is for you for the neshama to purify the body and to create this sense of complete dvekut Hashem, and you can only do that after tchiyat ha'mitim. And so we need tchiyat ha'mitim because it's very nice, the olam neshamot. It's very nice, lovely place, but it's only a hint of what you could really get in tchiyat ha'mitim. So you need both. Okay, ulam bevariyot olam neshamot makom neshamot lashevet po kol zman yotam mitzapot laguf kumash ezcharnu. Aside from just being a place to hang out while they're waiting, the souls. There's another benefit to the souls and the body. And that for what it will need in the time of Tchiyah is Zeh. Because a person, a human being, cannot complete, can become complete until after he dies. I need some help with the English here. Somebody help me. What is he? I'm a little confused about this phrase.
Even though his deeds may be such as to have him worthy of it while he was still alive.
Oh, okay, fine. I mean, you would think that he's worthy of this true shleimut while he was still alive. Otherwise, he would never get it. You can only achieve shleimut in this world before death. Right, so it's like you're here, you have an opportunity to achieve shleimut, to grow, and then once you leave this world, that opportunity is gone. Right, as far as you got, that's as far as you got. As we said, but in addition, it's also a corollary from this decree. Right, remember, the neshama is stuck here. The neshama, as much as we want to be here, our neshama doesn't want to be here. Our neshama hates being here. The soul itself is darkened and amuma. What's the word he uses? Darkened and
dimmed.
Meaning you're like, reminds me of the, remember the Matrix? You also saw the Matrix? You know when the computer guy complains, he says, I hate this world. This world is terrible. What are you doing in this world? The soul doesn't like being here. It doesn't belong here. Right? It's limited. It's almost, you know, it's so interesting. It's like, last week, a close relative of mine, we had surgery, and thank God she's doing much, much, much better. But she had very serious neurosurgery. And after the first surgery, it wasn't going well. And we went to go visit to see her. And you could see her, like, fighting to try to regain some sense of clarity, but just can't. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain, you ever like have that the dimness of trying to wake up, but you're unable to. Like you're in the world, but you're not in the world, and it was very disconcerting. And it just made me think of this image of like the soul is here in the world, and has to be here, and is stuck here, but it's not its place. It doesn't belong here. It's dirtied by this world. It's not able to achieve its true potential. Even though the soul can improve, can achieve shleimut, that cannot reveal itself. And it can't purify itself in the proper way, in the true way. Meaning the soul, yeah, of course the soul is improving. But the amount that the soul is improving and the amount that manifests itself here, it's like a shadow of what it really is supposed to be. Because by definition, by being attached to the body, the soul, as great as it is, it's totally limited. It's not because of the soul's fault, it's the body's fault. And then the body also suffers. Why? Because the body really wants to be improved by the soul. The soul can't purify the body. It's like a terribly frustrating existence, both for the soul and the body. The soul can only go so far. Can't purify the body. No matter what it does, it never achieves its full potential, no matter how great it is. And it's always limited. It's always being held back by this body. It's not doing what it's supposed to do, which is to purify the body. And if it was doing what it was supposed to do, or what it should do, so imagine how frustrated your soul must be. Here you are sitting in a shir, and we're thinking about God, we're contemplating God, we're purifying ourselves, we're becoming better people, we're coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the soul is like, yeah, let's go! But nothing's happening. Because you're still stuck in this muckety-muck body that, you know, you're tired and, you know, you just got an email and, you know, and we just fasted all day and it's been a hard day and you're exhausted And as great as you can be, like, in reality, if you think about it, like, you know, it's like a Star Trek episode. We're supposed to come to another kind of existence. It's supposed to, the soul, this year, is supposed to transform us in some way and make us different people, each one on his own plane. But this poor soul just can't do it. It's, like, stuck. Because that's just the way it is. Okay? Because the idea of shleimut is to make the other better. That's what it's supposed to do. It was created for that. It's supposed to achieve its own end. And it's not missing its end as long as you're not it's not able to put that into motion. So imagine how frustrated the poor soul must be, no matter how great a person is, how much he achieves in this world, no matter how clarified that soul is, it's still weighed down by the physicality in this world. When it finally frees itself of this body and goes to the world of the spirits, it's finally, it can purify and cleanse and spread itself out. And everything it accomplished, it achieved in this world, it now can, you know, it dumped all that dead weight. You know, it's almost like, right, us heavy people, you know what I'm saying? So I'm really meant to be a marathon runner. I will never be a marathon runner as long as I'm carrying around this tire around me. You know what I'm saying? So if I finally am able to rid myself of this, I can run faster. I can run quicker. I do better run times. So, l'habdil. And the soul, it's much, much different. And it's more ready to do its thing in t'chiyat ha'metim. Now it's ready, you know, it finally has purified itself to the point in Olam HaShamot that it's ready to do what it's supposed to do in Olam HaNeshamot. Ulam. So here's the idea, I'm in Yud Gimel 13. You should know, Ki gam ata bikenes ha'neshama v'guf ha'over. Okay, so now you're saying poor soul stuck in the body. Afapisha lo kanta adayin shleimut b'ma'aseha. Even though it cannot find complete shleimut. Hine mitzad yikara v'zahara ha'atzmi. Because of its purity and its light, inner light, in reality, the soul's job is to purify the body. You really have to, like, think about existence in a very different way than you think thought about it. Like, you know, I never thought about it until I started learning the Sefer. It's not that you have a body and you have a soul and they're stuck together. The soul is supposed to transform the body into something superhuman, non-human, human plus, something above the min ha'enoshi. But as we all know, God's decree prevents it. Umit alemet kocha, and takes away the power of the soul. Umamet is the harav. Open shlo yimashach menu inyan zeh. Can't happen. Avotei sheshama luta ba'atzma. What's luta mean? It's stuck there, imprisoned. In itself.
Restrained.
What's that?
Imprisoned and restrained.
Restrained, thank you. Be'oto ha'shiyo mistabech lefi hachana ha'kavana el'yona. As much as God said, u'pu'elet baguf be'oto ha'seyde ha'shiyo ha'nirtza mi'chachmato yitparashimo. You ever see that? There was like a movie recently about this guy who could take a pill and unlock the 90% of his brain that doesn't really do anything? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But they know that that's true. They don't know that it's true? It's false? I mean, our brain does 100% of what it's supposed to do, not 80%? Not 20%?
No, there's a difference in terms of whether it can do physically and what it can do, you know, whether or not we have kahot, you know, from mental kahot that we're not actually using.
But right.
There's no part of the brain that does not fire in various different activities that we do on a day-to-day basis.
So where do I get this idea? It's not just from a movie, isn't there a scientific
It's something recent that's been refuted.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
How recent?
2 months ago.
2 months ago after the movie comes out?
Exactly. I told the next guy a few weeks
ago. No, 2 months ago, there's something like that.
Why did they think there was such a thing? Isn't there like a well-known thing?
They believed that we weren't using all the brain power we had, and that parts of the brain, the left side, whatever it was, weren't being used at the same time.
There was a very famous case of a railway operator that
Is this like an Oliver Sacks thing? Yeah.
I don't remember the name again.
Okay.
I don't think it's Oliver Sacks, but anyway, so he was a railway worker and he walked over some dynamite while he was holding a railway spike. And the railway spike went through under here and came out the crown of his head.
Lovely.
And took out like 40% or 30% of the brain.
And nothing happened.
And he lost eyesight, whatever, but he was able to maintain conversation. He would still think, whatever it was. People thought there was extraneous space that was not necessarily being used.
Yeah, but aren't there people that have like superhuman abilities in certain areas?
True, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the brain isn't functioning the way it should be. The bottom line is that if the brain wasn't functioning the way it should, or we weren't using 90% of the brain, then 90% of the brain wouldn't fire. And you wouldn't see synapses in that 90%.
Maybe it's not firing on level 10. Maybe it's firing on level 2. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, you know, to assume that this latest study is like...
The study.
Assume that we're working at 100% capacity of our brain.
Not 100% capacity.
Whatever. I mean, but all he's pointing out that the soul should be effective change on the body. And should be purifying us and cleansing us, and it can't, because Kosh Baruch Hu said it can't. He made a decree.
Get in touch with the soul?
What?
Does he discuss how to get in touch with the soul?
How to get in touch with the soul?
Yeah, Kilo is working together with you, against you, it's unplanned.
The way he said it until now, it's through the ma'asim that you do, you're able to purify the soul. And obviously what he's going to get to, it's clear, is, I mean, you know, it is a shiur on Judaism, is that through Torah, through knowing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through the actions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prescribes to limit your physicality or to enhance it in certain ways, those are ways of clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of getting close to God. Those are ways of purifying your soul. But the God who created you knows what's best in order to develop your spirituality.
Does he at any point?
Meaning you, I don't know, like, you're asking, is there a way of getting connected to my soul? That question, it doesn't make sense in itself. You are your neshama. You're also your goof. But it is who you are. It is part of you. It's not like there's a separate part of neshama that you don't identify with.
Your ability to speak is your neshama, right? Yeah. That's the...
His ability, his self-awareness, his ability to answer this question, to ask the question.
Right, it's the same. To reason, to use your mind, to...
You understand what I'm saying?
The level above the animal.
No.
Clarify your question.
Your neshama is supposed to be a little more spiritual than just... Use your mind for lots of things.
Yeah. Are you talking about what we commonly, was commonly now known as spirituality?
Yeah.
See, I don't think Ram Kala is talking about that at all. I think that what he senses as spirituality is the neshama, is the selam elokim in a person. And what we talk about when we say spirituality is a good physical feeling that I want to feel to sense that I'm connected to God. What? I'm not going to totally negate it. I want to feel spiritual too. But I'm not sure feeling spiritual has anything to do with the spirituality that he's talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, we talk about spirituality, Chassidus talks about spirituality in the sense of a simcha lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not spirituality. They want you to have simcha. That's using your goof, using every element of your emotional being in order to serve Hashem. Which is wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. But is that spiritual? No, Ram Kal says your neshama is the essence of who you are. Your personality, the choices that you make, the decisions that you take, the learning that you do, you know, the way you navigate your life in the world. That's your neshama. That's what's really important. Everything else is just...
Dead weight.
What?
Dead weight.
Yeah, almost in a sense. It's physicality. In a sense, one could say... That spirituality is the coercion, is the co-opting of physicality for spiritual purposes. Which is not bad. But it's not the neshama that he's talking about. Alright, achen. V'shuva haguf achar t'chia. When the soul returns to the body after t'chia. Lo titma'et v'lo titalem. It's not going to have this crappy situation where it's stuck in the body and have, you know, limited and locked in there. Rather, ela tikanes b'chol zehaveh u'b'chol kocha. Full force spirituality. Full force spirit. V'az miyad tizachech et haguf hahu zichuch gadol. It will transform the body. It will purify the body. V'la yisterech lo gidul ma'atma. It's not going to be like this slow thing. Shavich ata yiladim. Right? A child, you have to think about it. He describes it very clear, very true. And we're going to see this in the next chapter. When a child is born, the child becomes aware, self-aware, very slowly. And then the child learns to control itself and learns to manipulate it in its environment, and then slowly, very, very slowly, over an extended period of time, develops a sense of morality and spirituality and self-awareness and holiness and all those things over a ridiculously long period of time, if you think about it. It's not going to happen. That's not what happened. But the child, and the soul, in a sense, as it grows into the body of a child, it changes that body. It changes the person. You're no longer the crying baby, you know, literally crying for your food. Rather, you can go a whole day without food. You can decide for spiritual purposes to overcome your physical urges. But it took forever. It took a whole lifetime to do that. So it's not going to happen like that. Rather, miyad u'sha'ato ta'irbo. It's going to affect the body immediately. U'miyad hizakechehu gziku kadol. It will purify it, a great purification. They're going to elevate and elevate. Immediately, when the soul enters the body, he will be yikar, treasured, exalted. As soon as Tchiyat HaMetim happens, you will be a different person than the person you were your entire lifetime. Because your soul will fundamentally transform your body immediately. But how much purity will you have? Only as much as you purified your soul in this world already. And then you will benefit from the shleimut on the level for which you had prepared. And you can move on from that point based upon the level at which you find yourself. Okay, so just to let's just sum up. In the book here, he lists six different spiritual, I would say, conditions, situations of body and soul. First one is the theoretical. He says, the theoretical one is a person who, if Adam HaRishon had achieved his nisayon, right, had not eaten from the forbidden fruit, what would have happened?
He would have
50-50, what? And his soul would have purified his body. Ad kidei kach, that he would have achieved this complete dvekut Hashem. He would never have been stuck in this terrible physical existence in which we find ourselves. Okay? His soul would have purified himself, he would have achieved shleimut, and that would have been the end of history. Sounds interesting. That's one. That's number two.
Sorry, so what is that? That's it.
After so what, that's...
just the mode that exists without them, then.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. I mean, one does not imagine that God created the world in order for us to sin so that we could then muck around for the next gajillion years. Don't start. Okay? But that's what happened. Right, warned about to start. Okay? So then there are two spiritual levels of mankind before the Chet. There's Adam HaRishon when he's created, which is 50-50. And then it's 51-49, 52-48. 70-30, 99-1. You know what I'm saying? Until he's almost pure spirituality. He's Davuk Bashem. He benefits from the complete goodness of God that he has achieved through his own choice, hard work, clinging to God. Shalom al mankind.
This world, there's nowhere to get. All you can do is do math.
Correct. Then there was the sin. Okay? In the sinful state, now everything, all that whole theoretical, beautiful ideal of Gan Eden is off the table. It is interesting, in the Torah, how much time does the Torah give to this whole Gan Eden state? Like 5 minutes. Right, and then you're done. Like, because it's not relevant to us. It should be noted that we describe Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. It says that after they sinned, Hashem made them katnot or vayal bishem. What does that mean that he made them katnot or vayal bishem? Katnot or? What? Ah, well, the simple explanation or the classic explanation is he made them clothing out of, what's that? Oh, he made them clothing out of like leather clothes or whatever. He made them clothes. But the more Kabbalistic explanation is no, they were not pure physical beings. They did not have skin as it were in Gan Eden. They were not the same human beings that we are today. And it's just, nobody ever talks about that shot because we can't deal with it. It doesn't mean anything. You know, only in this context now it starts to mean something. Because that they weren't fully human in the way that we consider ourselves human. And the reason we can't deal with this is because we have no way of understanding it. We have no concept of it. So you just have to kind of let your imagination flow and pretend you're like Star Trek. Okay. Today. Yes.
But again, my question, sorry.
Oh, no. So wait, let me finish my sentence. Okay, and then hold your question. And hopefully by the time I'm done, you'll have forgotten it. Okay. I might win. Okay. That's Adam HaRishon before the sin is when he's created, and the level of spirituality is achieved. Those are two levels. After the sin is level number three. So now we're no longer 50-50. What are we? For however much it is? 99-1? Ouch. That's harsh. That's harsh.
I just meant 90.
90-10? Okay. Whatever. The Koach HaChomri is too powerful. So God limits us. He says, okay, the soul can live in the body, must live in the body, but he can only achieve so much. He's limited. He cannot affect the body. He cannot change the body. So therefore, the soul can improve itself, but only up to a certain point, and it cannot change its status in the body.
Or rather, the body can the soul affect itself? Can the body affect the soul?
The soul can affect itself. The body certainly can affect the soul. Can impure, can muck it up. Can the body affect the soul? The body can prevent the soul from making the choices which will allow it to purify itself, to reach the Madre God wants to. Okay, that's number three. Number four, then, would be... Everyone here with me? Number four would be the soul after death. The body returns to the earth. The soul goes to...
What? Soul world.
Its own, the soul world, while it's waiting. And then number five, of course, is... When it comes back and rejoins, and then it returns to Adam HaRishon, the way I understand what he's saying, Adam HaRishon, right, before the fit. And then it's time to not repeat the same mistake twice, purify ourselves, perfect ourselves, and reach the ultimate goodness that God can give us. Ari, do you still remember your question? What?
It's okay.
At any point during the book, does he use Torah?
Yes.
The giving of Torah as some way of rebalancing this 50-50?
Can't say. I didn't get that far. Okay. Perek Rabbi. I want to get the Perek Rabbi today because...
The story for you.
Yeah, really. You have to read ahead. Did you see the movie? Can you see the movie?
Yes, but I can't...
Major motion picture, Derek Hashem.
As a spoiler, I would take
it. Yeah. Okay. Perek Dalit. I want to get to a little Perek Dalit today because we're... Tachlis. A little bit of Tachlis. Matzavo shel Adam be'olam hazeh v'hadrachim lefanav. Okay? Person's status, situation... In this world, and the past before him, specifically. How do they call it? Human responsibility. It's like, and that's not an accurate translation of what he said. What? It's a lot of words to say human responsibility. Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Anyway. We're going to talk about two elements. Tchunat atzmo shel adam, v'harkavatam. His aspect, he himself, the man, the aspect of himself. V'hamakom ashehu mashambo. And the place where he finds himself, b'chol mashem mitlavelo. Bet, b'chinat ha'adam atzmo. Okay, let's talk about man himself. Hinei kvar zacharnu eichu murkav echad shenidchu bo shtei hafachim. So we've already described that this poor shlub, okay, is made up of two opposites. V'hainu ha'neshama b'haguf. Soul, body. V'ulam hinei anachru ro'im v'aineinu shachomriyot rishoni bo. But we see, it's obvious to us, right, that what's the dominant force of this poor guy? His physicality, chomriyut, v'toldotav chazaka kikot bo meod, and the toldot, the offshoots, the
generations, the children,
no,
the branches,
deviations, stages. Derivations are very strong. Hine miyad achar leidato, immediately after he's born, kimat chulo chamri. He's all chomer, ve'ein haseichel poel ve'olmat. See why what I was trying to answer you? He describes the chomer, and what's the neshama?
That's just the Sechel.
Ukafi hidgadluto yelech haSechel halokhu hazek. And as the person grows, his Sechel grows as well.
But that's
the
Sechel. You can't do that with your Sechel.
No. What do you mean? You could. But no.
You said the Sechel is a soul.
If you're doing the bad with the Sechel, it's your Chomer overcoming your spirituality. Why? What do you mean do bad? Describe. You rob a bank.
Yeah.
Good. It's not your Sechel robbing a bank. Why did you rob a bank? Because I wanted money. Why did I want money? Because money brings me power and pleasure. I want to fulfill my chumriyut. So because I did that, I made the bad choice. But it's not to fulfill my seichel. No one robs a bank in order to perfect himself as a human being. Do they?
How are you defining seichel?
Intellect. How am I defining that? Did I define it?
No, I'm asking, how is it the reason?
Yes, but it's more than that. Self-awareness, meaning a child who's born has no seichel. A newborn baby has no seichel. And as he grows up, he develops the seichel. So what's the seichel that he's developing?
But it's a reason to think, to have a mind.
Reason, think, self-awareness, self-limitation, knowledge of God, self-desire for perfection, etc., etc.
That's what connects you to God. It's your mind.
What's
chen?
Chen?
When you say somebody's got chen.
Oh, I don't know if I'd say that's related.
Chen is more is about joy personality. It's like right. More extenuation or
personality. That's connected to your goof?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Really? I mean, isn't that more...
No, yeah, it is more connected to your soul.
Isn't the offi, isn't the...
Yes.
Taking the seichel and...
One second.
And the,
what's that? But I would say your chen... What's chen? What is chen? Chen is a certain joy for life.
Yeah.
Correct? But this we've discussed. I think I brought the real quick thing about the joy for about
Sheker Achen. It's interesting. Sheker Achen.
That's different.
Why would Chen be Sheker then?
That's a different Chen. That's not a Chen he's describing.
Okay.
It's a choice of how you want to view the world as a spiritual world, which has this good waiting for us, or a physical world, which it does not, which is just meaningless and a pain in the neck and annoying.
But okay, so
right, and that manifests itself. That overall worldview will manifest itself in how you view other people, greet them, see the world, etc., etc. View challenges, all, and every other choice in your life. So yes, that is a neshama question. That's a seichel question. It's not a goof question.
It's a seichel question.
Sure. It's an awareness question. It's a spiritual question.
Is it? I understand that what he's saying, but I'm not sure.
God blows
the spirit right into Adam.
Yes,
the soul.
Correct.
He thinks. It doesn't sound like it's the same as the brain power and the ability and the knowledge and ability of the brain. It feels
why?
More like
no. It's different.
Why?
Animals have brains too. Animals have brains too. The difference between a brain and a brain.
The soul can use
there's the ability
an
to.
Animal can learn too.
No, not like that. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that kind of seichel. We're talking about seichel and the ability to make choices because out of, we'll call it this way, out of a desire to come closer to God and to emulate God. A self-awareness of being a tzelem elokim and the ramifications of that awareness.
This
let's go on.
This is what
on.
Rav Soloveitch would describe as a decision-making.
No idea. If you show me what you're talking about, I'll read it and
from Halachic Man.
I read Halachic Man a long, long time ago.
You're, no, not, brother,
talking, you're not talking about the first 10 pages, are you?
Probably.
I skipped those. Okay. Now, I'll call Panim. You know what they said, like, nobody ever reads how to get through Halachic Man because of those first, like, 8 footnotes about Kierkegaard, Kant, like, essay on that. Anyway. Now, call Panim. See what the Chomiyut does? It rules over him, and it's matot oto el inyanav. It causes you to deviate to what it needs. Don't go to the shir. There's a football game on. You know what I'm saying? Don't do any of the spiritual things, because I want you to fulfill your physical desires. Elashim yigdal b'chokhma v'yilumad ba. If you grow in wisdom, you study it v'yidchazek b'dracheha. And you strengthen yourself in its path. Hine yitametz lichvosh et tivo. You make an effort, these are such important words, to overcome your nature. Velo yishalach resen ta'avotav miyado. How does he translate that, Kevin? I got stuck on that phrase too. Okay?
And keep the physical desires on him firmly bridled.
Okay. Thank you. Keep his desires bridled. They won't, he keeps it in his hand. And he will be et atzum. He will grow to go in the ways of the seichel. Everybody understand? So what's our job? Our job is to understand that we are seichel, that our neshama is seichel, and that everything that we do that pulls us towards our chomriyut is pulling us away from seichel. and to try to make the choices that will help us develop our seichel and minimize, to whatever degree possible, the chomriyut within us. V'ulam, tochiyut ha'anyanim ha'el v'shanu ro'im hinehu, the essence of this is. What?
Doesn't work for me.
Doesn't work for you.
Are you saying that if you just put your energy into your seichel and you don't work on your midot or any of that?
No, that is midot. That is it. What do you mean you work on your midot? That is
seichel. Oh, well, I'm doing
midot is seichel. No. Don't. No. This isn't just philosophy. Midot is seichel is the spiritual, the intellectual awareness of man, as opposed to seichel is everything that's not chomriyut. Midot are seichel, of course. How I choose to react to things.
And how you choose to use your seichel.
Right, how are you, exactly, that's for sure.
Because you can choose to use it to
don't be bogged down by the Hebrew word seichel as only like, 2 plus 2 is 4, and I know the Pythagorean theorem, etc., etc. That's not what he means by seichel. He means intellect and spiritual self-awareness.
Mm. And making right choices.
Correct.
Because you can be very intellectual and make wrong choices.
Yeah, that's
so the point of the intellect is saying you're using it for making the right choices.
Okay. V'ulam tokin on ha'el v'shanu ro'im hinehu shebemitziut ha'chomer v'atzmuto. Through this, the chomer, through the fact that we are physical, nimtza ha'achirut v'ha'choshech b'teva. There is this achirut, blurriness and darkness in nature. V'hu mitziut rachok ma'od. It's the opposite of those who cling to God. And we're pulled in this direction. It's against what we want to be. And the soul itself. Remember, like we said, even though it is pure, since it's stuck in this physical existence, you say it's pulled away from the direction it wants to go. It's like, no. What can you do? It's pulled. It cannot emerge from this. It makes great effort. God decreed that they are stuck together. Perush, meaning, right? It's a temporary separation. But it knows it's going back. And they're both stuck together forever. Listen, your neshama knows it's stuck with the goof, so it better strive and strengthen itself. It has to overcome this darkness of chomriyut, of physicality. Until the body is not dark. So that the body is ready to go up to this great light, this elevated light. As opposed to the way that it was pulling down the soul and darkening it originally. He's repeating himself, I just want to get through. Like we said, the Adam, poor man, is stuck in a situation where chomriyot is hard, it's overcoming him. Man is in this terrible darkness. It's very far from what he should be. This is what you have to place your effort. To strengthen your neshama against the physicality. To improve your situation. It's very like, what's tshuva? So you think, I'll do another mitzvah. Of course you do another mitzvah. Oh, I should, what I'm saying, I should learn more. Of course you do. Oh, I shouldn't do XYZ. Of course you shouldn't do XYZ. Tshuva, if you want to look at it in this context, is trying to find the ideal way for us to reduce our chomriyut, reduce our addiction, or the pull of our physicality, which is weighing down on our spiritual growth and development. Looking at it in those terms, it's much, much more than any one thing. But the danger is that it could be such a great thing that it's almost impossible to know where to stop or what to do. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot. It's very hard. Okay. I don't know if I'm going to stop here or not. Yeah, we'll stop here. And if you just think about it, you know, what's Yom Kippur? What is Yom Kippur? We had this discussion last week. The holiest of holy days. That's the day that we make an attempt to for 24 hours, rid ourselves to whatever degree possible of the physicality that drags us down in the world. For one day, you can live without eating. For one day, you can live without the physical pleasures. For one day, you can focus on the spiritual selves. So it's interesting that Chazal saw a need to make it such a day that you basically have to spend the whole day in shul. You know what I'm saying? Because what would happen? Like, what happens as soon as shul lets out? Mm-hmm. You know, oh, right, 2 hour break, go to sleep. Or, you know what I'm saying? You start reading other things. So they understood that mankind is such that left to his own devices, would we use the day in the best possible way? So instead, they knew, they understood. So the best thing you can do is in devotion and prayer and devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's a day of focusing on spirituality. It's a day of trying to understand and appreciate what our potential truly could be. You know, and I always had this problem. And I spoke to a rabbi about this. Like, oh, yeah, I'm always going to, like, I find that I start to make tshuva so frustrating. Because I know I'm going to do tshuva, and then, like, I wouldn't say 100%, but there are good odds that the things that I feel bad about, the things that I do tshuva for, the al-chets that I do, you know what I'm saying? Am I going to still get upset with my children? Am I still going to snap at people? Somehow that's still going to continue to happen, even though I'm going to do an al-chet for it. So, and this is my Ram from Shalavim, Rav Yaakovson, who's another Rosh Yeshiva. He said, it's not just about, see, I'm never going to do it again. He said, if I was on the level that I'm on Yom Kippur, during the rest of the year, would I do that sin again? If I had that same sense of self-awareness and that same spiritual high that I achieve on Yom Kippur, would I do it again? It's about achieving a level of spirituality that sets the goal for the rest of the year. And that's something for all of us to strive for. We'll stop here.
There's also, by the way,